Well, I believe they're worth supporting, are they not? And I appreciate them coming and being with us. And I want you to take your Bibles tonight and go to Colossians. As you turn to Colossians chapter number 2, I do just want to say we can laugh about it a little bit, but the mission gauge over here, you know, it wasn't all that long ago we had a great victory of filling it all the way up. And we talked and kind of chuckled at that time that we had to do it all over again. Amen. And it is that year. A brand new year and a brand new opportunity. And the sad, and again, because the missionary brought it up, I'll talk about it. But, you know, just the same thing, you know, I go and, like you, sometimes in our hurriedness or our busyness of this life, we'll run into a place that is a fast food place. And it used to be convenient and cheap. And now it is sometimes no longer convenient or cheap. And we do live in a day and age where when you even think about missions, and for him saying, you know, we want to launch out and plant a brand new church, and if 100 churches would take us on, and that would be somebody like us, if somebody in that church had decided, you know what, I'm going to take my lunch money and I'm just going to pack my lunch so that that guy can start a church. I can't do what he's doing, but I can give up Chick-fil-A for a year so that he can plant a church. And sometimes we don't put it on that plane and we don't put it in that perspective. We don't think about it that way. But a lot of times as Americans, we are so blessed. Amen. That if we just looked inside our budget for one little comfort of our life and gave up that one comfort, we could fill that up. But we serve a God and we call that faith promise. And he's a God that sometimes we don't have to give up the comforts. If we just trusted him by faith and said, God, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it back to you. He'll let you keep your comfort and give you the money too so that he could plant his church. Amen. He's that kind of God. Tonight, again, the thought and just what they're doing. And even when they were singing, I come by the way of the cross, I could not help but think about the millions that will stand around the throne. And not because of what we didn't do, but because of what we did do. I look out at a crowd tonight, and not of a bunch of Calvinists, but a bunch of people that realize that God uses people to reach people. He's done all the finished work of Christ, but it takes footwork. He kept us here for a reason. Otherwise, we'd be raptured out at the time we got saved to be with him. And then so on and so on, as God made a witness of himself, people would be called out of this place. But he leaves us here for a purpose, and there will be rewards. There will be a time that we stand before the throne of grace. And but I think about the generation to come, and why is it important that we follow up on those? I realize in the 101 souls that were saved on anniversary Sunday, there is a multitude of different generations and age groups. But it's important for us to follow up because of our future. For one, we've always done this. This isn't something new. It's not a new program. This is just the Word of God, and it's completing the Great Commission. Winning souls to Christ is only the first step of the Great Commission, but to baptize them and to teach them everything that we've been taught is essential to the church. It's essential to our faith. It's essential for the church to continue on. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he is trying to express some desires that he has, and he wants them to know his heart. In February, it's important that we understand that we've talked a lot about it, but we often take this month because Valentine's Day is in the middle of it, and we understand love. And even this morning, we talked a little bit about the love of God, and the heartbeat of God is souls, but the heartbeat of God is also discipleship. The heartbeat of God is the growth of his church. The heartbeat of God is one day to come and take his church to be with him. And we have to understand that we don't put God in one certain lane, but that there are several things. I've mentioned it in our time of announcements, but here in Colossians chapter 1, I want you to pick up verse number 1 with me, and we'll read the first 7 verses. He says in verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, look at this, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore, look at there, therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You say, preacher, I see this. Well, Paul gives, he says, that is his heart's. He not only wants their heart, but he wants their hearts to be knit together. I think about the 100 people that were saved and those that were on the property that could be saved if we'd follow up on them, that heard the gospel and are probably under conviction like my father was, who on that Sunday morning, Brother Burt made mention in our Thursday night soul winning time, how precious it was to watch people pour out after, again, one song after one song. And then even one time I turned around and thought the invitation was done and gave him a nod that we were ending it, and he kind of looked at me and said, preacher, there's another one coming. And I watched a dear young lady walk the aisle and just tears running down her face as she held on to the very last, that invitation call, and finally she gave in. But the truth is that there were people in the building, folks, 53 visitors inside the building, and without a doubt some of those folks were saved and visiting with us. But to tell you the truth, there was somebody that was like my dad, who either didn't humble themselves or in their pride hung on to the pew. Even when she peeled out and came and tears ran down her face, there were other people that need someone to follow up and go to their home and they're awaiting them. I can tell you what my dad was like on a Thursday night. He longed to hear it again. He longed to hear it personal, and he longed to have someone explain it to him in detail. He didn't grow up in church, didn't know anything about it, but needed somebody to come and share the gospel and explain it to him. Do you know most people that are like that stand back? And you may think, you know, oh, they can't think that. There's a lot of people that come into this place that would love to have been saved, but they have convinced themselves that God could never save them. They've convinced themselves that their sins are too high and that God would not want them. And they came in and they sit back there and they think to themselves, I'd walk down there if I thought I could be saved. I'd walk down there if I thought God really wanted me. But he's talking to all those other people. He's not talking to me. And sometimes those people need one person to come to their house and talk to them personally and tell them God does want you. God does want you. God did die for you. Folks, here you say, well, why is that important? Well, we need to follow up. But here, I see something in the scripture here that I want to give you very quickly. And I want you to see this in the last verse that we read, verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If I could take one verse and stamp it on the hearts of our young people, on young Christians, what I would like to see in them and what I desire for our church to put in them, it would be first and foremost for them to be rooted and built up in him. To realize that the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation was just a foundation that was laid for their life to be built upon. For their family to be built upon, for their life to be lived upon, for him to be walked in every day according to the scripture. Rooted and built up. It gives the idea of a tree that not only grows up but flourishes. One that doesn't grow straight up like it was from West Virginia, but has branches of its family that keep on and spread out. Amen? We laugh about that a little bit, but I want to see not only my children be married, but to stay in the faith. And not just to produce grandchildren, but produce grandchildren of the faith. I want to see them be rooted and built up upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And it's important that we don't just leave people in their salvation, but that we reach out and pursue them, because what I have in my heart is the same thing Paul had in his heart. He had never even seen these folks, but he longed to impart something to them that their life might be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Number two, I want you to see if I could have one thing that I could give and stamp on the heart of every young person, it wouldn't just be them being rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. It'd be number two, to be established or established in the faith. We live in a day and age of watered down Christianity. We live in a day and age of watered down faith because everybody in the world preaches and teaches, or, and I'm not saying everybody, but so many in the world. I'm thankful. I don't know if you were encouraged tonight, but I was encouraged tonight that there's somebody that's hillbilly singing in the Philippines. Amen. That the music sounds like our music there. Amen. That's encouraging. Because there's a ton of people that preach Christ, but their music doesn't sound anything like the sound of heaven. If you want to hear what it's going to be like in heaven, that is going to be just like that, but on a harp. Amen. Maybe somebody else with a rubber band going, boom, boom, boom. Right, and so, there'll be no jug. Okay? No jugs in heaven. Now, we can laugh about it and get excited, but we understand that, listen, we have established faith. That means a foundation of our faith and practice from the Scriptures, and it needs to be reproduced. There's a foundation in Jesus Christ to be built upon, but what are they built up in? Their most holy faith. We have to build them up in their faith. And too many times we seek to impart to our young people, we worry more about how they're going to make money than whether they really know truly the faith that is found in Jesus Christ. We worry more about what their education level is rather than studying and wondering what the education level they have in faith is. What is the depth of their faith? Are they stable? When they leave my house, do my children know what a good church looks like? Can they discern between what is false and what is true? There's so much more than just sending your kids out, and I trust that they can now make a living. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, as a dad, one of the things that's most important, I want my boys to be able to use these two hands. Amen. I don't want them to have to call the man to change a tire for them on the side of the road. I want them to be the man. But at the same time, when they get married and have their own children, I want my son to be the man in his home. That when there's a question about the Word of God and his faith, he can answer that according to the Word of God. Not, I think. But God says, established in the faith. Do you know that every one of the people that got saved and our young people that ride in our buses and sit in Sunday school, every one of them desperately need to be established in their faith. Established. Rooted and built up. Foundation laid in Jesus Christ, because nobody can lay another foundation. There's no other foundation of faith outside of Jesus Christ. But then established on that foundation. That means grown, locked into it, being built up in our most holy faith. What is Sunday school about? Well, when you walk into the classroom, you need to realize, I'm establishing faith. I'm building blocks of faith. I'm laying foundation. I'm laying teaching. I'm trying to build them up every week. Sometimes we just think about that Sunday school class is maybe something that passes time. Sometimes we think about it, I'm just going to make it through this one. It's something that desperately needs to be prayed over, that God would prepare the heart to receive the teaching from the Word of God, that they might be established in their faith. We ought to get to the place as Sunday school and junior church workers that we are desperate for God to act in the lives of those. That is who is writing. Paul has never seen these folks, but he is desperate that God would use him in their lives to establish them in the faith. We should have a desire to be used of God, not for our own sake, but for theirs. I look at our young people, and you say, well, how do you rate our young people? Good or bad? No, that's how the world does, you know? Whether I'm going to put coal in their stocking. Christmas time was just past, right? They either get a present or they get coal. That is such a shallow way of looking at young people. I want to look and see if they're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Are they rooted and built up in the faith? How established are they in their faith? Do you know a young person could attend this church from 2 until they're 20 and get this much because they turn it off or they close off their heart because nobody pursued them and loved them and gave their heart? He says here that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. One of the things that I worry about is our young people grow up in this place and they do not feel like they're a part of it. They grow up inside the house of God and realize that mom and dad are a part of this church, but they attend it. You know, the hardest thing that we deal with the bus routes, that they don't feel like that they're second-class citizens in the church. They ought to feel like when they get saved and baptized into this church, they're as much a member as anybody else that sits in this auditorium. My desire as the pastor is to be their pastor as much as I am your pastor. And you know, most of that doesn't just happen. When I first took the pastorate, I know full well that I was your preacher. But God has allowed me to become some of your pastors. You know, I desired that. It's something I prayed for and longed for and worked at. But I know some of you, I'm still your preacher. I realize I followed up a man who had your heart, who loved you for a long time, and I don't expect that to happen overnight. I believe that has to be something that's prayed and worked for. And if I could say it just in a little bit, I don't believe it can be that way, but a little bit what we would use the word earned, because of faithfulness. Do you know the same thing is true on a bus route with a young child? That through faithfulness, you earn their respect. Too many times as adults with young people, we command their respect instead of earning it. Now, we should command their respect and keep order, but we should also work hard at earning their trust, earning their love, earning a reciprocated relationship that should be bound up in Jesus Christ. Because I want to see them rooted and built up in Him. I want to see them established in the faith. And lastly, it says, and again, he uses this term, and I'll move on quickly, but he says, as ye have been taught. Now, I see the Great Commission there. I know that somebody did that for me. I'll use this illustration and move on to the last point. But I remember getting out of Bible college and going back home and laying a foundation of all these things that I wanted to teach my young people because I didn't get that when I was in the teen group. Boy, if I had just had this, if somebody taught me this and I could have learned this, I would have been so much farther ahead than I was when I was getting out of the teen group. And one of our wayward teenagers that I grew up with, we saw her in the grocery store, my wife and I, and we invited her back to church. She had grown up with us in the church. Now we're all in our 30s, and I invited her to be back. She came back, brought her daughter, got plugged in for a while. And she came into the church, the teen class on Wednesday night, and what I was teaching and trying to establish in the faith. And she said, oh, you're teaching that stuff that we learned when we were in high school. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, that's the same stuff that they taught us when we were in high school. Folks, I was there, but I didn't remember anything. I was in the same teen group she was. And now she had gone to the world. I had stayed faithful, but she remembers that we were taught that. I had no idea. I thought all along somebody along the way had wronged me and not taught me the foundations of the Christian life. But all the time it was going in one ear and out the other. And my brain should have plugged a hole on the way in between. But you know what? Sometimes maybe it was a relationship that wasn't right. Maybe it was my fault. Maybe it was the teacher's. But either way, I feel like there wasn't established faith in there. You know, we need to work at that. As a teacher, you know, sometimes the teenager, young person, bus kid, wherever you want to call it, drive-in kid, they're there. We're the ones that have to be thinking, are they getting it? We're the ones that have to be praying that they will receive it. They're showing up. They're taking care of the biggest hurdle that they have, and then we have to try to hurdle to them. We're the one that has to try to throw a rope on them. He lays this here and finishes this up. And this is one of the things, if I'm looking at a young person and I'm gauging this, I want this stamped on their heart. I want it to say rooted and built up. I want it to say established in the faith. And I want it to see this abounding therein. That means the practice. Everything that is, listen, it sounds like a tree, and every tree produces fruit. And one of the ways we can tell, rather than, and this is what I want to bring it home with, instead of what do we do? He says, abounding therein. So they're producing fruit with what they're established in. So when you look at a young person and you don't like what kind of fruit it is, then what do? Do you complain about it? Or do you fertilize it? When you dig down deep and wonder what's going on wrong, if it's maybe something, especially for fruit trees locally, do you cut the tree down and plant a new one? Throw them away? Or do you graft in something that's sweet? To try to bring the fruit to where it ought to be. How about this? Abounding therein. Boy, I want to see our young people abounding in that. But lastly, I want you to see this. They're going to practice what they hear. They're going to practice what they see. He says, with thanksgiving. Do you know the predominant thing that I've seen in fundamentalism, and I'm not saying it's absolutely true of our church, but I don't want it to be. That's why I'm preaching about it tonight. When you see the wrong fruit produced by a young person, the worst thing you can do instead of acting is complain about it. Because complaining never helped anything. It's another word that sounds better than gossip. And oftentimes, when instead of acting, we complain, when we ought to give thanks for what we have seen. Thank God that they're saved. Thank God that God still can. Thank God that God has. Thank God that God will, if I pray and work and do. We complain instead of trusting God and giving thanks. And we wonder why our kids complain. And we wonder why they don't want to be a part of our work after they're grown. Because instead of them seeing, now listen, we just came through a Sunday where we abounded therein. And we've given thanks. With this new crop and the old crop, I'd like to see them watch us abound. And I'd love to let them hear us thank God day after day after day. Complaining never helped anybody, but I can tell you the folks that it hurts the worst is the next generation that's coming up. Because when they hear complaints, they're getting counsel of what not to do, where not to stay. And I know this is so-and-so and this and that. I know why Dad stays, because he's locked in here. But I don't have any ties, because they never built any relationships. All they've ever heard is complaints, because they never grew to a place where they produce fruit. Do you know we ought to praise young people in every stage, not just the fruit stage? Every stage of their life. We ought to, again, if we can go to the game and clap when they knock a ball out of the park, then we ought to get crazy when a child learns a memory verse, when they hide the Word of God in their heart. We ought to jump somersaults when they're faithful and they have a desire to do something for God. Instead, too many times, I've watched so many parents in this life. I had a young man walk down the front this morning after the thing. He's from Brother Caldwell's church, and they were visiting today. And he said, "Preacher, I'm praying about coming here for Bible college." Had his grandfather with him. We're down here, going to come back for college days. And I said, "What are you going to do for God?" He said, "I don't know yet. I just know I want to do something." And I encouraged him. I didn't go, "Well, you know, you don't got no fruit. You don't even know what you want to do yet." I see a foundation. He was rooted in Jesus Christ. I see He established in his faith, I know that I want to serve God. He's not abounding therein yet, necessarily. He doesn't even know which way he wants to bound. He's looking for the way he's going to jump. But he knows that this is the next step in his life. And for all of us, young people, older folks, listen, following up on folks is so essential, but it's not just in February. It's not just after Anniversary Sunday. Following up or doing the finish work is every Sunday. It's every Saturday of the bus. It's for Sunday school teachers and junior church workers to realize that every Sunday's a big Sunday. It's not just about the soul being won. That's the beginning. It's the investment week after week after week in the lives of young people being established in their faith so that they may abound therein. You say, why do we have soul winning for teens and young people? Because it's essential that they don't wait till they become adults to get invested in the work of God to abound therein. Tonight, just a small message, but listen, what I was encouraged with tonight is that, you know, just like we got a camp, the Philippines has a camp. That's exciting. That missions goes on, and you know what they did? They went there and reproduced the same thing that Jesus reproduced here. They're reproducing the local church and the ministries of the local church. Tonight, as we go forward in faith, let's help people be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Let's see them established or established in the faith, and let's help them abound therein with thanksgiving. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet tonight? As the invitation begins, the altar is open. If you're here tonight and you need to talk to God, maybe ask Him to help you as we follow up in February. Ask God to help you with your Sunday school, your bus route, whatever it is. Why don't you step out and come? But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, then tonight, let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'll spend eternity in heaven by taking the Bible and walking you through the scriptures that tell you about Jesus Christ, who paid your penalty on the cross of Calvary and rose again on the third day that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you'd step out and come, I'll meet you in the front as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily live, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Take me now, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed tonight, if you'd be in attitude of prayer, if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, while folks' heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, why don't you step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle? This invitation is for you. We're inviting you to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'd love for you to do that tonight. If you just do it by faith, just step out and come. We'll show you in the Bible how you can know for sure 100% that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power, dear. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
Sing it with us now.
I surrender.
Think about what you're singing tonight.
I surrender.
So much. You may be seated. We have something to share with you tonight. Miss Mary comes tonight. Why don't you come and stand here beside me? Tell me what your last name is.
Guevara.
And that's what exactly how I was going to say it. And but Miss Mary, she's been saved and she wants to join the church through baptism tonight. And so all those that would accept her in to the fellowship, amen, and so carried. If you guys want to go over to the baptismal area, and just let me say thank you, thank you, thank you. Right after we get done with baptism, I don't want to remind you, we have a teacher and workers meeting, and I have something else scheduled for me, so Dr. Pitts will be running that. He said it will be short, but I'm not sure whether he's going to, it's kind of my short or his short, and so I'm not sure, but we do know that there are things over there that you want to go for. I want to make sure that you have the Sunday school lessons for those of you, but also some instructions on follow-up things we want you to be, even if you're not going to be able to practice any of those things, but they need to be prayed for as others do that. Amen? And so if you'd go over. Brother Bird.
All right. 456. 456. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. 456. Count your blessings.
When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, God hath done. God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done.
Miss Mary, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you.
thank you for being here tonight. Don't forget to go right over to the teachers and workers meeting. If you have time, make sure you get a prayer card. If there are missionaries, go ahead back to your table back there. And they make sure you get one and pray for them as they begin this work there. Pray that God will help them in this short period of time to raise that support that they need as they go home. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Lord, I pray for the meeting that will go on just now, Lord, the week that comes with our young people. Lord, help us to build them up in their most holy faith. Lord, help us to invest week after week, not only in the day school, but in every Sunday of our church. Lord, help us now as we desire to follow up as you've commanded us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.